I do when I feel like sin has a hold on me? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Well, hi, this is Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. This is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. Our phone lines are open. You can call us anytime at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Feel free to leave a voicemail if you get our voicemail system. You can also email us anytime at questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, let's go to Doug calling in from St. Louis. Doug, what's your question for Adriel?
Yeah, hi. My question is, we're taught that Jesus died for our sins, and we're forgiven if we repent and we turn our life to God and we're Christians. But I hear our pastors say, you need to be careful for what you say, because you're gonna answer to everything you say or everything you do. We're never going to become perfect. We're human beings. We're always going to sin in some way or another. So are we forgiven for our sins or are we not? I'm not perfect, and I've tried to do the right thing. But I'm not always going to. I'm not always going to think the right thing. Just as we were just talking about, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, I may think something negative in my mind that I shouldn't. Am I paying for that, or have I been forgiven for that? I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to be perfect, but I'm never going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Doug, thank you for that question. And you're aware of the fact that even as a regenerated, believer in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, you strive after holiness, you want to honor the Lord, and yet there is this war that is waging inside of you. It's the battle between the flesh and the spirit that the Apostle Paul talked about in the book of Galatians, where we have these disordered desires and thoughts and feelings and temptations. And we just think, Lord, am I ever going to be perfect? And the answer, you're right. This side of heaven, no, we aren't. And so that's why we can't be justified on the basis of our works. You are forgiven, justified as one who believes in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is at work in our lives as those who are justified, sanctifying us day by day as we grow in our understanding of God's Word, together with other believers in Christian fellowship. But that is not the basis for our acceptance before God at the final judgment. It's not that those works merit our right standing before God. They show forth, really, the changed life does show forth the work of God in our lives, but that's not, again, the basis for our justification, we might say. Now, our sins do have consequences. And again, Paul makes this clear. He says, don't be deceived. Whatever a person sows, that's what the person's going to reap. There are consequences to our sinful behavior, so that if we say something or do something that's out of accord with God's word, God disciplines us. But there's a difference between discipline, the fatherly discipline of God, where he is disciplining us for our good and his glory, and being condemned and cast out of God's presence. And so, we're encouraged and called to walk in holiness and to follow the Lord. And when we sin, we bring those sins to the Lord. We are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all of our sins, but there are consequences and temporal punishments, or we might say discipline, that the Lord gives to us this side of heaven. Why? Because he loves us, to keep us on the right path, to help us to continue to grow in holiness for our own good, just like any father would discipline the child whom he loved. That's what, the author of the Hebrews says. And so that's how we have to understand that tension there. It's not that we're justified by our works, but it's also not that our works just don't matter and that we don't experience, God's discipline when we turn away from the Lord. But our failures, our shortcomings don't cause you to lose that status of being forgiven and justified if you are a child of God. And so, Doug, thanks for reaching out to us. May the Lord bless you.
Hey, Doug, thanks for listening to Core Christianity. If you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, we'd always love to hear from you. Our phone number is 833-THE-CORE, and you can leave us a voicemail 24 hours a day, 1-833-843-2673. Let's go to Linda, who's calling in from Missouri. Linda, what's your question for Adriel?
Okay, I have a question about 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. I was reading out the NIV version this morning, and it says that the again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel and Judah. But when David had the fighting men counted, he felt conscience stricken after he had counted them. And then the Lord brought punishment upon Israel and Judah, and 70,000 people died. I was wondering, so if God told him to go and take a census of Israel and Judah, then why was punishment brought upon Israel and Judah, and 70,000 people died?
Mm-hmm. Linda, excellent question. And here we're confronted with God, you know, the sovereignty of God, the way he works with his people. I think what we have here is God disciplining David, probably for pride, because it's clear that David is responsible for having sinned. In verse 10, David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly. And what's fascinating about this, Linda, is if you look at the parallel text to this scene in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, it says, then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. And so how do we harmonize all of this? It seems like God allowed the evil one here in this situation to tempt, if you will, David, or to put this before him. Now, David is responsible here, and God makes that very clear in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that none of us are tempted beyond our ability, but that we're called to obey the Lord, to follow him. I mean, Israel was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And here, David is being tempted, and he disobeys, and somehow God is mysteriously sovereignly behind it. It's not that God is the primary actor tempting David to sin or forcing him to stumble, that kind of a thing, and yet he's sovereign over these circumstances. He's sovereign over the evil one, and David is still responsible. And so here we see all of these things coming together, both the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of mankind, and there's mystery involved here. I mean, I think we can say that. We can say, Lord, okay, this is definitely above my pay grade, but we're certain that, one, God is good, he's righteous, he's just. We're also certain that we are responsible for our sinful behavior, that God isn't, you know, making us fall. And yet he's sovereign over the circumstances, you know, in our lives that sometimes are associated with our falling or our sinning, which is what we see there in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And so I think looking at 2 Samuel 24 together with 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, together with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's verse 16, it talks about temptation and God providing the way of escape, or how we want to look at this scene and harmonize what's going on there. Linda, again, excellent question. Thank you for reaching out to us.
So, Adriel, you don't want to be counting the people in your congregation, you know, because if your church starts to grow and you start getting prideful about that,
that's
you never
right.
know what
I close my
happen.
Eyes. I don't even know. We you know, I never count. No. But it does seem like that. I mean, that's kind of at the heart of what's, and there's debate, you know, commentators and scholars, you know, what exactly was the sin? And it does seem like maybe trusting in, and certainly this is a serious sin in the Bible, is not trusting in the Lord, but trusting in the strength of man. In the arm of man or the power of the horse, God calls us not to rely on our own strength, but on him, to trust in him. And it seems like that's what David wasn't doing here.
Mm. Well said. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Let's go to John in St. Louis, Missouri. John, what's your question for Adriel?
Yeah, how you guys doing there?
Doing well, John. What's your question?
Yeah, I want to ask you a question there. When it says that flee temptation, but then God provides a way out, is that based on our ability to recognize sin and leave that sin, or does God provide the way after the during the temptation? All right, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, I think God can provide the way any number of ways. And I think in the context there, it is referring to in that moment, in the heat of the battle, it's not like you're forced to do it, like you have to do it. James says, you know, in James chapter 1, we're lured away by our own sinful desires. And the text that you're referring to, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, where Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. In other words, run from it. And of course, that brings to mind, you know, the story of Joseph in Potiphar's house and the temptation that he experienced there and just getting out of there, running away. By the way, I think that this is so fascinating. We're thinking about sin, in particular sexual sin and sexual temptation, and the strategy for victory is retreat. Is don't entertain it. Don't just get out of that situation. Run. And in part, I think that, you know, it's clear that God knows that if we trust in ourselves, if we think, oh, I can handle this. I can handle this relationship. I can handle whatever it is, whatever the source of temptation is. The moment we start saying I can do this, we're already beginning to slip and fall. It's that self-confidence so often that leads us astray. And so there, it's flee. And in the moment of temptation, God does provide the way of escape. And what does that look like? It can look a number of different ways. It can look like your phone ringing and someone calling you. You know, you just don't know. But here, I think what's highlighted is the goodness and mercy of God. Not only is it His will that we're sanctified, this is what Paul told the Thessalonians, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality. It's His will. But it's also something that He helps us in, providing that way of escape, calling us to Himself and granting us the grace of His Spirit. And so appreciate your question, John. Thank you for reaching out to us.
You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, doctrine, theology, whatever you might like to ask Adriel. You can leave us a voicemail 24 hours a day at this number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Let's go to Jim calling in from Texas. Jim, what's your question for Adriel?
All right. So, basically, what I see in Genesis 2:9 is that God created the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I kind of did some research and looked some commentaries. One of the one was focused on the family, did a good commentary on it. So basically, what I've come to understand is that God has created us completely separate from Him. And that includes us having our own will to do this or that. And I think the Bible boils down all of that in the fact that that we can make the choices. I think absent the devil, you know, the whole Ezekiel 28 thing, I think absent all that, I think he still would have made the choice to eat from the tree. Mm. And so it's that choice. I think my question was, you know, did God create evil? Mm. And I think you can't have one without the other. And so I think it's the choices we make. And then, of course, through Jesus Christ, He gave us a way back. So I just was wondering what your take is on all that.
Okay. Jim, thanks for that question. Love that you're digging into the Word of God and, you know, picking up commentaries and really wanting to understand what was happening there in the garden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, man was told, don't eat from that tree. You can have all the other ones, right? The apple trees and the, you know, pear trees and whatnot, but you can't have that one. So first, we're struck by the generosity of God, His goodness, overwhelming. But also, you know, this desire inside of us, this wanting or longing for more, or what we've not been given, despite all of God's generosity. I think that there's a parallel here that we can see even in our own lives, right? How often we're not satisfied with the good things God has given to us, and we want something else. And we begin to think, Lord, You're holding out on me. You're not being good to me. Now, with regard to this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what was the purpose of this tree? Well, it's setting up this time of testing. Adam and Eve, left to the freedom of their wills, are called to obey the Lord, are called to follow Him. God has given them this free choice. And what are they going to do? The language of good and evil, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, brings to mind the picture of judgment. It was a kingly role in the Old Testament. The kings were to discern, to judge between right and wrong, good and evil. That's Christian maturity. Those who have, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, discerned those things. I mean, think of King Solomon, for example, right? He's given wisdom to do what? To discern right and wrong, good and evil. And so there was a judgment that was supposed to be rendered at that tree when the serpent offered them this fruit that they were forbidden. They were supposed to judge justly, to rule well. Adam, as we might say, the king over creation, the one who had been given this great privilege, God's vice regent, we might say. God's saying, I'm gonna let you rule. Be fruitful and multiply, take dominion. You're the king, Adam, of Eden. And yet he doesn't render the right judgment. They don't render the right judgment. And as a result, sin enters the world. And so the purpose for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's not that God is the author of evil or created evil or that he's forcing Adam and Eve to stumble. He's giving them an opportunity to judge justly. And they didn't. They fell. They listened to the serpent. And sin entered the world. And we've been dealing with the effects of sin ever since around us and inside of us. And as you said, it's through the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven, and the image of God that has been defaced or marred by our sinning is restored in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jim, I think that's at the heart of what's going on here in this text. And it sounds to me like you're on the right track. I just want to encourage you to keep digging in and studying. And I guess just to really clearly address what you said. It's not that God created evil or is the author of evil. We reject that as Christians. That's not what we believe. He is sovereign over evil, and he allowed, through the free actions of human beings, evil to enter into the world. But that doesn't mean that God is the author of evil. And so he's the author of redemption, restoration. He's the one who conquers evil through the cross of his son, Jesus. God bless. Mm.
Amen. Great explanation. Thank you for that, Adriel. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. By the way, I want to mention we are a listener-supported ministry. We don't play commercials on this program. We don't get money from a church or a denomination or a radio station. We count on people just like you to make donations to keep us on the air. We actually want to invite you to join what we call our inner core.
Yes, the Inner Core is a group of people who support us with a monthly gift of $25 or more. Think of it like a subscription, if you will, to partner with us more than anything. As a thank you, we will send you a copy of the book, Core Christianity, written by Dr. Michael Horton, which is an excellent introduction to the core doctrines of the Christian faith. So if you've been wrestling with stuff like the deity of Christ, the Holy Trinity, the goodness of God in a world that's filled with so much evil, how God speaks to us today. I mean, these are some of the chapters, some of the things that are covered in this book. And again, as a thank you for joining the Inner Core, we'll send you this book. But I hope that you view it as a way to partner with us and to further the mission that we have of equipping people in sound doctrine, in the study of Scripture, encouraging you in your walk with the Lord. Your gifts, your help really mean a lot to us, and they enable us to continue to do what we're doing. And so would you, if you're blessed by the broadcast, consider joining the Inner Core?
You can find out more by going to corechristianity.com/innercore. Again, corechristianity.com/innercore to join that special group of people that are regular supporters of this program. Well, we do receive voicemails here at Core Christianity. You can call us 24 hours a day. Leave your question for Adriel on our voicemail system. Here's the number. It's 833-THE-CORE. And here's one that came in from one of our listeners named Mark.
The question I have is... I feel like sin has got a hold of me, a lot of pornography, something that really, truly hard on me right now. I'm trying to break away from it. I'm trying to get a better life. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I just need help.
Hey, Mark. Bill, I think it sounded like he said sin's got a hold of him, and he referenced pornography. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
Okay, Mark. Let's take a moment right now to pray for Mark and pray that the Lord delivers him and pours his spirit out on Mark and brings about a real healing and restoration here. Father, we lift Mark up to you. God, we know that it is only by the work of your Holy Spirit that the sinful deeds of the body are put to death. The temptations we experience, the lusts of the flesh, and Lord, we know that the battle is very real, that sin is crouching at the door, and that it desires to consume us. And it has been consuming Mark, Lord. And so we pray for your deliverance. We pray for the power of your Spirit to fill him, to strengthen him, to enable him first and foremost to see your great glory and love in the gospel of your Son, to receive the forgiveness of all of his sins, not on the basis of how well he's done today or this week, but on the basis, Lord God, of your great mercy. And that same grace that forgives our sins, that grace, Lord, would enable him to stand and to follow you and to part ways with these sinful habits and whatever it is that might be contributing to these sinful habits and temptations. Be with Mark, Lord, and be with all those right now who, you know, they hear Mark's story, his question, and they think, man, I'm struggling with that same thing. Lord, be at work. By your Spirit, we pray, bringing healing and grace and forgiveness and restoration in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There are a couple of things that I want to say to you, brother. The first is to consider very carefully the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, the exhortation that he gives with regard to adultery and lust. This is his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. I want to say to you, Mark, and to all of you listening right now, wrestling with this very thing, there is a war for your soul. And Jesus is highlighting here the kind of approach we as his followers, as Christians, need to take with sin. It's not a just sort of sit back and see what happens approach. It's not a, well, it's not that big of a deal. I only look at pornography, you know, once a day, once a week, once a month, whatever. No, it's a don't give it any place. And if you see things in your life that open up the door for this, for some people, it might be excessive drinking. For others, it might be the amount of time that they spend on their phone or certain apps on their phone or whatever. I would say to you, whatever it is, be willing to cut it off, to get accountability. There are helpful resources out there, programs like Covenant Eyes, for example, where you can get software on your phone or on your computer that helps with accountability. Of course, it's an issue of the heart, Jesus says. But I think being honest, confessing your sin, getting accountability. So Mark, at the heart of this also is being in a solid community where you can get accountability, where you can be honest about this struggle and have brothers around you in your life who are encouraging you in the fight. So I just want to say to you, brother, whatever it takes, whatever you need to cut out of your life, do that and don't waste any time doing that. And at the same time, recognize that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is for you, and that his blood, his mercy, his gospel is sufficient to cleanse all your sins, no matter how many times you've fallen, and rest in that forgiveness, and then by his grace, seek him. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, go to corechristianity.com/radio. Or you can call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, let us know how we can be praying for you. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.